This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Just 34 minutes after the hour. Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Chevron. Strange weekend for a lot of the area football teams that we talk about. Now, the Buffs win 31-7. They ultimately cover, 23.5, 24-point spread. The Buffs end up winning big against Delaware. Didn't really feel like that at times. And then we had several quarterbacks getting a shot here. Mark Johnson joining us now, the voice of the Buffaloes. Mark, do we have a little bit of a quarterback controversy going on in Boulder, my friend?
Man, I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about that end of that Northern Colorado State.
Oh, what did you think, Mark? Was that a catch?
Oh, without question.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel so bad for Coach Lamb of the Bears up there because of how hard they played and hadn't beaten CSU in 125 years. After our game, I went out to my wife and I went out and had dinner, and we're driving home, and she's in her vehicle, I'm in mine, because I went separately, and I got the radio on, and I'm like, whoa. And they scored a touchdown. I'm like, oh, phenomenal. Good for them. You know, fantastic. I've gotten to meet all the area coaches during the I was going to say Sonny Lubick. It's not Sonny Lubick. Fisher DeBerry event I do every year. And so I've gotten to know those guys a little bit and really think the world of it. I just felt so good for UNC. And then 30 seconds later, we're overturning it, man. I felt horrible for him.
Mark, I was there at that game, too, and it was just a strange game. I mean, a big show out by the fans and everything. Yes. So this was huge for UNC, even though they lost games on altitude in front of 36,000-plus. Yep. I mean, it was one of those games, Mark, where you walk out of that stadium and it's like the team that won lost, the team that lost won. That's how it felt.
It did. And then, you know, once I got home, I was able to, you know, see on X and see the different replays of it. And I felt horrible for them. But all right, guys, regroup, get back to it. But still, you'd love to have that W on it. But back to your initial question.
Well, I'm sure Bears fans appreciate you going there, Mark.
now back to your Bears square, your quarterback question. Is it a controversy or is it a question mark? I think that, you know, I know one of them is both all the time. When you got a controversy, you've got a question mark. Well, the other one might be just a question mark at this point. I don't know. Here's the funny thing. I knew that Prime, when he and I taped the show on Thursday, he didn't tell me anything specific. He made a comment to me off mic about his quarterbacks and some things he was looking at. And it was kind of benign, to be honest with you. And I didn't really think too deeply about it. And then all of a sudden, you know, when you're doing a game, you've got a certain anticipatory aspect of it. But for the most part, you've got kind of a storyline in your head because you've done your preparation. And so the expectation from a quarterback standpoint was, okay, Caden Stalter is going to start. We're going to see Julian Lewis at some point in time. And that was the end of the quarterback storyline. What was beyond that then is, okay, does Julian come in and look fantastic? And then what does that mean? But number 16, Ryan Staub, was not in my head. And so, I'm sitting there and I glance down and, you know, you begin to learn what these guys look like, how they run. You know, we're sitting so far away. You look for certain things just to identify. And so in my mind, I'm doing this game thinking, okay, make sure every time when they come out, the offense comes in the field, I look at the quarterback to make sure I know which one it is. And I looked down there and went, well, who is that guy? That didn't look like either Caden or Juju. And I went, who in the hell would be playing at this point? And then it hit me. Holy cow, that's Ryan Staub. And so I was shocked. And then he went out and bowled out like crazy and created this whole situation. But I'll say this, Brady. He looked like a quarterback standing in the pocket. He climbed the pocket. He manipulated the pocket. He's such a great kid. And he stuck through it. We know all the stuff he's gone through. And so I was just tickled with him. And so, yeah, I mean, I don't know who's going to start on Friday at Houston, but it certainly is going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, do you think we'll see kind of the quarterback carousel a bit more, or are we going to go with just one guy and give him that real shot?
Well, that's a great question. I can't imagine you're going to see the quarterback carousel. I don't think that's the way that Prime would like. I don't think any football person would like to handle it that way. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a guy that you utilize in certain situations. I mean, think, who was the guy that was it Chris Leak, who was at Florida when Tim Tebow was running out of that package? Are they running out?
Yeah.
And so you can do stuff like that every once in a while, but you don't want a rotation. This isn't defensive linemen where you're rotating guys in and out. And so I can't imagine Prime or any other football person would like that type of situation. So I don't think that's the case. But, you know, there's a coaching friend of mine. And keep in mind, this whole world with NIL changes this entire equation, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, you got a couple of guys making some darn substantial money here, and then the other guy, by comparison, is, you know, making a bag of chips. And so I sent this out to him. He's been a head coach for a long time, and I sent him a text, and I just said, here's the situation in this new world we're living in. And this isn't the NFL where everyone's just got contracts and you're locked into these deals for 2, 3, 4, 5 years, whatever it might be. All kinds of things can happen. And he writes back. He's an old school guy. He goes, screw politics, man. You play the guy that's going to get you the wins. And so, you know, I'm sure, you know, Prime's going to think that way. He's all about winning. And so it'll be interesting to see how he kind of massages this thing all week long.
Well, the whole thing is fascinating to me because you have this guy, like you said, even going into the game, you got Juju Lewis. We've talked about him. We saw the big picture of Shedeur Sanders handing the keys to Julian.
Yep.
And then
yep.
You bring Caden Salter in out of Liberty, and he's kind of highly touted. And you got Ryan Staub, who's been with the Buffs, what, Mark? Is this his third year with Colorado?
Third year, yeah.
And so he's kind of like, I mean, backup quarterback to Shedeur Sanders is like the least talked about human being in the history of the world. And then he comes out and has one of these great games, and you end up doing what you were supposed to do against Delaware. So it's fascinating, my friend.
I was at a speaking event last night, a little auction thing that I was doing. And a guy turned out to be a huge CU fan. He came up, and we started talking about kind of this world. This guy is a very, very substantial, successful business guy. So he thinks in those terms. And he just said to me, he said, you know, it's really interesting what we've done. And he said, Julian Lewis may turn out to be a phenomenal quarterback. He said, I hope that's the case. And he goes on to a long NFL career. But he said, do you see? And he goes, well, he said to me, I said, I know you see, because I wonder if people see how backwards we do this. Right, we anoint people before we know what they are. You talked about that poster of handing the keys to Julian from Shedeur, because we get into this courtship period with these kids, essentially coming out of high school. We court them and we play into a fantasy of what this is going to be before they earn it, and so we anoint people. We make them into stars. We ultimately are turning them into millionaires very, very quickly. And we're talking the talk and walking the walk, and everything's going to be incredible, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. And then Ryan Staub shows up, right? And all of a sudden, it's like, well wait a minute. No, that guy's supposed to be the guy. Well, he's not right now. And so it's such a perverted system that we have in how we do these things, and how we elevate and anoint all of a sudden, and then reality eventually, you know, you've heard me say this before, the most dangerous word in the English language is potential. You know, we can talk about people's potential all you want. Eventually you have to perform, and you have to do it. And that's where we're getting these things in trouble. And that's why I think, you know, you see a lot of these kids, and they're just, that they were told in the process, I'm going to be him, and then they get there and they're not, so they jump in the portal and go someplace else and try and be him. And then they go to another place and try and be him. I mean, it's just such a bizarre thing to witness right now.
Yeah, it is. It's fascinating. You know, again, we're talking about Juju. We're talking about Caden, like, all offseason. Is it going to be the 17-year-old that gets this shot? Oh, Coach Prime's throwing out that Juju's going to play against Delaware. What does that mean? And then out of nowhere, or at least to us, Ryan Staub.
Yep.
So you're right. This is a crazy story. I love it, though. This makes it even more entertaining.
Well, you know, over the weekend, I was asked to do a bunch of different shows, and so shows would call me up, and I jump on and talk to them like I'm talking to you. And I said, you know, this is what makes college athletics great. I said, look at this. You had three guys, I think, really four if you think about it, in that game. Okay, Staub's the most obvious. Okay, comes out of nowhere. Ben Finneseth is another one. Durango kid, hangs around, doesn't leave, busts his tail, finds himself as a starting safety. Jeremiah Brown's another guy, linebacker that made some plays the other day. He was with Prime down in Jackson. He's been just, you know, behind all these big-name guys and these transfer guys, and he's just continued to work and find himself. And then Makari Vickers over the weekend all of a sudden finds his way in the field just a few months after having heart surgery. And you know, the old idea of, and I know the term is very antiquated, but the old elbow grease kind of mindset, I'm going to keep working, I'm just going to keep chopping wood, I'm going to keep grinding, I'm going to do all the things we talk about in sports and see if I can find an opportunity. That's the way this is supposed to work. And so, you know, these four guys, I was thinking about that this morning. Those four guys I mentioned, you know, have all kind of stuck to that throwback old-school kind of mentality, and they're finding positions, and they're finding playing time and earning playing time instead of being anointed ahead of time. And I enjoy those aspects and those stories of college athletics.
Well, we'll see what that looks like with the quarterbacks going up against Houston. Houston, I don't know, Mark. 2-0. They beat up on Rice last week. Yep. They beat up on Stephen F. Austin. But how much do we really know about this opponent? And you know, what are your thoughts here for CU and their chances to start the season 2-1?
Yeah, you know, I'm sitting here this morning, just getting into that kind of stuff and just starting to look at a few things. And you know, I don't know what we really know about anybody, you know, at this point in time. I think they're an okay football team at this point. They might turn out to be better than that. I look at this league right now, I'm going to be honest, Brady, and I go, well, Utah might be pretty good, I guess. I don't know. BYU maybe. I don't know. There's a few teams I look at, but I'm not sure who is really good, because I think everybody in the first couple of weeks has got some blemishes, right? I mean, look at Alabama. What do you think of Alabama? They get beaten the first week. They come back next week and win 70-0 or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so how do you grade some of these teams early on? It's a tough thing to do. You know, I was sitting here this morning looking at some numbers. You know, okay, we think of last year's Colorado team as really being something special. Turned out to be pretty darn good. Colorado's offensive numbers are better right now than they were last year through two games. So what does that mean?
Wow, yeah.
Their defensive numbers are better in some respects than they were a year ago. They got fewer penalties than they do a year ago. Colorado just set a record. They didn't turn a ball over for two straight games. That set a record for them. And so, you know, you look at those things. It's what's that old line about there's lies, damn lies, and statistics, you know? So we sit here 2 weeks in, and we try to evaluate this, and I'm not sure what we really know at this point. I think I've got a couple of ideas about Colorado, but I'm not sure at this point, and I kind of feel the same way about Houston right now. There are some things you look at and go, I think they're pretty good. I think they run the ball pretty well from what I can tell at this point in time. I think their defense is okay, but you know, we'll find out. You know, Gary always says to me every year, Mark, you don't know what you have until you play five games. Five games, you know. Then we all know exactly what we are. So at this point, I think Colorado's needle is still pointed up as far as I'm concerned. Houston, I think, is a question mark a little bit at this point in time. Maybe there's as many questions as Colorado has. But you know, at least we'll get some answers come Friday night in, you know, September in Houston. Boy, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I'm bringing my telecom powder, I can tell you that.
Well, you're 100% right, though, especially in this day and age. Like, week one, week two, week three, that doesn't really tell us much, let alone, you know, fall camp. None of that stuff means anything anymore. So we're
right.
Still learning about all of these teams. Like, even for the UNC-CSU game, was that a fluke? You know, is UNC
right.
Going to come back down to earth and be, you know, they've been rough for several years. Is that going to be who they are? CSU, was that just overlooking UNC? Who knows? So many things we have yet to see, and you're probably right about the 4 or 5 week mark.
Yeah, it's kind of a tough, you know, I'm sitting here, I've just got Houston stats in front of me. You know, they're averaging 26 points a game, just like Colorado is, giving up 17 points a game, similar to what Colorado is. Teams are running on them effectively. I mean, they're right now, teams are going for over 200 yards a game against them through two games. So again, you kind of look at it and go, well, I think that might mean something, you know. You know, I saw Georgia Tech, who ran for 320 yards against Colorado, put up 670 or something in their game over the weekend, and yet they're a dog coming up with a game this weekend. And so, you know, I'm glad I'm not a wise guy in Las Vegas trying to figure this out and lay lines every week, because I have a tough time figuring it out this early in the season.
Yeah, you and me both, my friend. Mark, always appreciate it, man. What time do you guys get rocking and rolling this weekend?
It's an early evening game, so we kick off at 5:30 Mountain Time on the Colorado Football Network, and so 3:30 pregame on Friday afternoon. And did you see this? And I know this kind of affects all of us in this part of the country. We just got our game time for Wyoming the following week.
I saw that.
Love those 8:15 games. can you hear the sarcasm of my voice when I say that? Because that means we really won't get underway until about 8:30.
Yep.
We won't get done until 11:30 or 12, and then by 1 o'clock to 1:30 to 2 o'clock in the morning, that's when I'll be leaving the stadium. And yeah, that's always a lot of fun. And then, of course, the Wyoming fans, they've got to drive back up to Laramie and Cheyenne. And so, yeah, it's just a blast for all of us.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting and a lot of fun for you, Mark. All right, my friend, always appreciate it, and we'll catch up with you next week.
All right, bud, take care.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. What a story there. With Ryan Staub, 7 of 10, 157 yards and 2 touchdowns. The only guy throwing for touchdowns in that game for the Buffs. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We got Buy or Sell Stock Watch coming up at 105. Don't miss that. We'll be right back.
Don't sweat it, NoCo. With cooler temperatures upon us, that only means more red-hot takes on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. Honesty, integrity, hard work. It's the way you live and the way we bank. Bank of Colorado has been a family-owned, community-focused bank for generations and will be here for generations to come. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.